pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. Come up on the program this morning. Just confirmed the list here. From Breitbart News, Bradley J. will be with us here in about a half hour. So please stay tuned for that. And the 10 o'clock hour from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, Joey Clark, he is our Wednesday regular. And the Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stadhagen will be with us at 11 o'clock hour. And a little backstory there. Representative Stadhagen, and I guess it was the end of the last quadrennium, so that would have been the 22 legislative session, was the guy who had sponsored Alabama's ban on transgender athletes playing in female sports. So we'll get his reaction to yesterday's Supreme Court decision. That's coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, just text me there. Coming up, by the way, we'll spend some time on these decisions. We'll talk about that. Also, I want to really into it with Bradley about maybe I've been, I know a lot of you are surprised, I've been a little too pessimistic about November. I think there's some reasons for optimism now that we're kind of getting past the gas price issue. And I think that is, that just takes something off the table for Democrats to try to make a wedge issue. The things are, things are looking up now. I still believe Democrats are going to do really well on November 3rd. Particularly probably in the Senate. I don't think Graham Plattner's going to win. We do this every 6 years with Susan Collins, and this might be the year she goes down, and it never is. It's Maine. She is Maine. She'll continue to be Maine senator as long as she wants to be. But there's reason in the House to, I think the redistricting is going to pay off. And regardless, and you kind of, you know, if Republicans do lose the House, it'll be by a small margin. And it's going to, you know, they're not going to do anything moving the ball for Trump in the House of Representatives. However, it is going to be ugly. That leadership fight is going to be fantastic political theater on the Democrat side. We're going to get the Democrat Civil War we've been waiting for. And somebody's called me on this yesterday, or day before yesterday. Hey, you don't mean a literal civil war, do you? No. You know, a metaphorical civil war. No one's going to be firing shots at Fort Sumter. Sorry if that's confused someone with you. I have to be careful with my language here, I'm told. But it's going to be fun to watch. Also, and you know, we talked about this on the air yesterday, that NPR jumped the gun on Samuel Alito's retirement. But that's coming. They're ready for it. Nita Totenberg, I think, has been the NPR Supreme Court correspondent or somebody's Supreme Court correspondent for as long as I've been alive. But we could see, what I'm told is that Alito is probably going to retire and Justice Thomas will probably die on the court. So, you know, we'll get at least one more justice. I just, you know, we got to, these Federalist Society judges, if Trump's looking at that list, he's got to be careful here. We you know, Alito, replacing Alito is not like replacing, you know, one of the swinging moderates. I mean, this has to be a serious right winger. I think Republicans in the United States Senate, if they had to go through the confirmation, got to really hold it to the Alito standard. We can't have this wishy-washiness. That's fine. I mean, the court can lean right, but you got to have the anchors. And right now, the two anchors are Alito and Thomas. You can't replace him with someone who will defect and become moderate. You got to go in that direction. No compromise. You can't wait till the new Senate is sworn in and have a Merrick Garland situation. Nope, can't do it. But we've been let down by this list of judges that the Federalist Society puts out. Let's not make that same mistake again. They got to get this one right if indeed Samuel Alito retires. More on the, by the way, the elections. Colorado last night. Did y'all see this? Well, the Democrat Socialist wave continues. Michael Bennett down. There's like a populist sort of uprising in the Democratic Party. And you know, like when Republicans went through this with the Tea Party and later on was sort of just Freedom Caucus types, Democrats, they didn't go after, like, hey, look, these guys are fighting among themselves. This is going to be great. No, they were like, look at these crazy right-wingers who are trying to commandeer the Republican Party. Let this happen. Like, you know, Fox News and conservative talk radio, I'm all for this. Let the far left start winning some seats. But then people got to own what they do. They got to own the woke agenda. That this is what people want. That they want gender-neutral bathrooms and locker rooms and sports. And if they want abortion on demand. If they want, you know, let them live by the, you know, the progressive sword. Die by the progressive sword. But let the Democratic Party do that. Instead of just getting away with all these tropes and talking about what they're going to do if they get elected and really push the envelope on the far left agenda and stirring their voters up and putting them into a frenzy. And then when they get elected, just nothing happens. They just laugh at it. Oh, that's just campaign rhetoric. Make them own this and make them own it to this extent that it is so far out of the mainstream that on a mass scale in a national election, they cannot win. Don't worry about how crazy they are. Don't worry at this phase, at least. Let these far left types, these people who like exist in this world of ACLU politics and just idealism, let them own these policies. And then when it comes time to elect a president, then we can start talking about it. And see how that does. Go focus group that in Des Moines, Iowa in January of 2028. Let me know how that works out for you. Because I think you're going to have a weak hand and let them play all their cards now. Let the Trump derangement syndrome run its course. You're never going to stop that. And to let this far left agenda become part of the Democratic Party. Let Zoran Mandani be the face of it. Let him be the kingmaker. Let's see what you got. Because you'll never get to a majority. You won't even get to a majority in the Democratic Party. But that will be, you got to own it. You could get the woman in the penis costume to go along with this, but she's such a small percentage of the population. It's never going to win you a national election. So I'm all for this. I don't know what happened to Colorado in the last 30 years, but man. And that's probably Republicans' best shot at winning in Colorado. And getting, maybe picking off a seat or two, is just let them do the Sharon Angle. Like Republicans had to learn during the Tea Party, where you have somebody who is so far out of the mainstream. And they have to own it. Let them do this. Because that's your best shot at a election year, all cycle election year. And when Republicans in the White House. So we've hit the national politics really hard. We'll spend some time on this. We're still in Tommy Tuberville residency saga. And there's some people who are really worried about it, but there's others who just, may not get out of this phase here. Right now, a Montgomery County judge is trying to determine with whether or not the court has jurisdiction over this residency challenge. This is a big deal. If they determine it does it, then I guess it could be appealed to the civil court of appeals and then up to the Alabama Supreme Court. But we heard John Gray yesterday. I mean, there's specific language that, no, you don't have a standing in this case. Or the courts don't have jurisdiction to determine this. Like, you know, this isn't a thing. Now, look, it's obviously Montgomery County, so it's a Democrat circuit. So anything could happen there. But I feel like Brooke Reed may rule that we can't do anything here. Because you listen to the attorney Barry Ragsdale talk about it, and like I said, I spent some time on that, and it just sounds like to me like they're really grasping for straws here. They're offering a lot of anecdotal, like he called himself a carpetbagger. He said things, he's done things, but there's nothing like that you could tie to the law that automatically negates his citizen residency. Like a rhinestone cowboy. Look, we've been talking about this for like 7-8 years now. This is not new. This has been adjudicated. I'm just not going to get there where they're going with it. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. From people I don't even know, and offers coming over the phone. Old Rope Elijah, well, he never got a kiss.
Time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Coming up in the next segment, Bradley J. from Breitbart News. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Also on the program, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. And Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Steinhagen, and state lawmaker from Hartsel will be with us in the 11 o'clock hour. Toothless Bear, Republicans can't even make a race interesting in Colorado. No 55-45, usually 70-30. It'll take years for Colorado Republicans to be competitive. Yeah, but the way to get there is just have something so far out of the mainstream. Continue this trend of nominating unelectable Democrats. And I'm telling you guys, that's the path here, because this is their logical conclusion to what Democrats have done successfully, very wisely for years, to stir up their base, get them angry at something, get them angry at the big bad orange man, make Trump out to be worse than he really is, make it seem like that we'll never have another election again if Donald Trump is elected in 2024. No one believed that. But they say stuff like that. They say outrageous stuff like that, and they don't believe it, but I guess there's some people who might believe it. So anyway, when you hear that, and that becomes a thing, and they're the people who are going to go in this direction, this way far left progressive direction, but they're not a big number. I mean, they're a sizable number, but they're not proportionately not a big number. Tony writes, Denver and Colorado Springs have been invaded by people moving from California. Keith, I'm with you, Jeff. Let's let them go. All this is good for Republicans that they are made to own it. They got to own it. They're gonna dine off of this phenomenon. Then let them own it and see how it does on a national basis. Squirrel Vereen. Democrats fire literal shots every day at federal agents at everyone. Before Iran started getting knocked around, people were already calling midterm elections a loss to Democrats. They, with their media agitators, were and are keeping up their tricks. So there you have it. 251-343-0106. Plenty of time to get in on the text line. I don't think Colorado is going to be Republican tomorrow. But look, you could preserve some things like Lauren Boebert. I mean, there's some Republicans in Colorado. It's a state where the population centers are far left, but the rest of the state's just kind of, I mean, it's not Alabama or Utah or something. But it is normal enough not to go in that direction. And so here's what happens. Now, watch this happen in Florida. And you have, like, real competitive primaries. You don't have a uniparty system like we have here. And you have a base on the Democrats, and you have a base for the Republicans. And the base picks the candidates. You don't have a uniparty where Democrats or people who lean left or lean moderate or whatever, they have to pick a side like you do in Alabama, and you're going to pick the winning side, and that dilutes the politics. So in Florida, you get a DeSantis. You get Byron Donalds. You get like true bona fide conservatives on the Republican ticket, generally, not always. When you have two parties, the problem is you've got to have enough Democrats to, I guess, be relevant and have people that will run on a Democrat ticket thinking they could win, thinking that state can be flipped. Democrats here in the last 10 years have just ceded Florida. When I lived in Tallahassee, I know that there were multiple visits from presidential candidates during that 16 cycle. Trump was there. I don't know if Hillary made it. I know Tim Kaine did. I went to go see him at the Florida A&M. That's where he did his campaign stop. But it used to be a sweet state. Maybe they're ceding it to Republicans these days. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me Mr. Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Victor, can you make folks cry when you play and sing? Have you paid?
Looked and laughed at you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony cake.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program? Hit us up on that text line. Sit up, come Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. That's about an hour from now. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, I got to talk to him last night a little bit. Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stathagen. He was the sponsor of the bill. It passed in 2022 that banned transgender females from participating in girls' sports in Alabama. So he had the our first effort on that. And, of course, you know about the Supreme Court case yesterday that allows states to make that determination. So we'll get his reaction to what happened yesterday at the high court. But joining us now, regular on this program, my colleague at Breitbart News, Bradley Jay, is with us. Bradley, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing great. How are you today?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for making time for us. I do appreciate it. I'm going to kind of change my dour outlook here about the midterms. And, you know, I was working on a column for some of the newspapers I write for around the state. And looking at, like, nationally, the House of Representatives may not be as in bad a shape as I thought it might be, especially now that gas prices are easing. Strait of Hormuz, as long as it stays open and that the pressure's off there, this redistricting is going to pay dividends. And I mean, it still could go Democrat, but it's not going to go Democrat by a big margin.
Oh, whatever the margins are, they're going to be small. There's just not that many purple battleground districts anymore. And the mid-decade redistricting done by blue and red states in sometimes in the leftward direction, sometimes towards the right, that just even further eliminated battleground states. With the mid-decade redistricting, as well as the Supreme Court throwing out the Voting Rights Act, Section 2, I mean, Republicans are in pretty good shape. There's also the fact that so many of these left-wing folks are winning Democrat primaries. I'm not sure that will have that much of an effect on any particular races, just because that's generally in races that are in districts that are so far blue that there's no chance a Republican can win. But I do think if Republicans actually get aggressive and message that correctly, that will help just with the broader electorate as well. But yeah, Republicans are actually sitting pretty right now and having a chance to defy a little history, something that not a lot of people were high on just a few months ago.
Well, these political prognostication sites like Cook Political Report and Larry Sabato, they still got a +2 margin for Republicans. Now, the prediction markets, now a lot of that's baked in from earlier in the cycle. They're still leading Democrat. But the thing is, I'm still kind of on the leaning that it's going to go Democrat on November 3rd. The House will at least. Hakeem Jeffries is toast. I don't see a path for him because I think he's opposed to many of these kind of, guerrilla type style campaign candidates. And he's going to have to win them over. And it's going to look a little bit probably worse. I was talking yesterday to Will Hampson about this, like McCarthy 2.0.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, first off, if Republicans can win every single district that Trump won by 9 points, then they keep the House. I mean, that's remarkable. So there would have to be a huge swing towards Democrats for them to retake the House. That's possible. I mean, it's again, it happens in these types of midterms, but still, Republicans got to be feeling pretty good about where they are. You're right on Jeffries, and we talked about this a little bit last week. Jeffries weighed in a lot of these races where it was a little bit risky to do so. He got involved in primaries when incumbents were not involved. He supported the more hate using the term, but the relatively moderate candidates against some of these just absolute left-wing burn-it-all-down types, and it didn't always play well for him. He lost some of these races where you compare that to Mamdani, who put his finger on the scale in some of these races, and, I mean, he's just decimated. I mean, in his competition, he made some very, very good bets there that have paid off for him. And if you look at what happened last night in Colorado, one thing we talked about last week was whether or not this insurgency from the radical left would be confined to New York. It's clearly not. Last night, that Malat Kiros lady, she's 29, she's a girl to me, defeated a 15-term Democrat rep in a primary in Colorado in a blue district. She's going to Washington. This is another one of those Democrat Socialist of America candidates, born in Ethiopia, just done some, if you're a Republic, if you work at the NRCC or the RNC, I mean, she's an absolute dream just because of all the radical stuff that she said that you can hang around the neck of every other candidate. But it's clear that these types of candidates are winning and going to Washington. They're going to be members, even though they're Democrat Socialists of America, they're going to be members of the House Democrat Caucus. And Kiros, the one who won last night, just openly told Politico after she won that she isn't inclined to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Why should she? While the Republicans, when McCarthy won with his very slim majority, Republicans had a very slim majority and McCarthy won the speakership, he had to make concessions that I actually think lent towards were good governance concessions for the most part. Of course, they ended up being what took him down by a handful of folks who I don't know that they were that interested in good governance, at least a handful of them. But what will Jeffries have to make? What concessions will he have to make to win over these folks who not only do they owe no allegiance to Jeffries, but I mean, they're a member of another party. They won without the machinery of the Democrat Party. What will he have to do to win their vote for Speaker? So, he might be in pretty serious trouble. There's a reason why he weighed in on all these races, and if all those bets didn't turn out well for him.
But I'll tell you something, let them fall on the sword. They stirred this frenzy up, the Democratic Party has. And it's not just a Trump derangement syndrome thing. It is playing, and Democrats have done this. They played to their far left. They've talked about this. They have made this a central focus in their media. All of these far left progressive ideas, maybe not quite as much. The interesting thing is the pro-Palestine stuff. I don't know where that comes from, but all the other social and cultural issue stuff has been something that the mainstream Democratic Party has been playing off of for years, but never really does anything about it. They just like talk about it, but Pelosi or whatever. They're finally having to own this, and they're finally having to own these candidates that really think the way that they've been trying to tell people that they should think.
You're right, and this is it's sad for the nation, but it does give me a little bit of pleasure to watch Democrats reaping what they sow. They brought in tens of millions of foreigners with no allegiance to the United States or either one party or the other, or really any of our, again, like political heritage, cultural, social, faith heritage. I mean, you name it. And these Democrats just assumed, well, they have a binary choice. They can vote for Republicans or they can vote for Democrats. But they brought in so many that so many of them are going in a different direction. So they're pledging their allegiance to the Democrat Socialist of America, forging a third path, and it's taking out the Democrats. So the Democrat Party, I mean, it truly is an existential crisis. And we've talked about how they've done everything they can over the past two decades to rig even their own presidential primaries. It's been since 2008 since they had a true Democrat primary that was contested in 12, Obama was, of course, the incumbent. the superdelegates rigged it for Hillary in 16. They made some limited reforms in 2020, but they still rigged it for Biden in addition to everything that they did with in the name of COVID. And then, of course, they rigged it for Kamala in 24. So there are all these disparate factions within the Democrat coalition right now. They're being held together by a thread. And there's only so much longer that situation can last. The thread is going to break. They're going to start eating their own. Some people are going to get left out of the cold. Some people are going to leave the coalition. Now, last Tuesday night, when the Mamdani massacre took out those three, these weren't even moderates, these three left-wing Democrats, two of them were incumbents. Stephen Miller that night was on Fox News talking about how President Trump and his Make America Great Again coalition is going to bring in disaffected Democrats. I mean, he was very blatant in his messaging, saying, look, if the Democrat Party is no longer for you, if you want our country to remain in the United States of America, join the coalition. We'd love to have you. So will Republicans be able to do that? I don't know necessarily if they'll be able to do it in great numbers in the midterms, but you got to think in 2028, there's a shot to do that. Certainly if you have somebody who, I mean, some of these candidates who are going to the House and Democrats bragged about saying they want to, when they run out of toilet tissue, they're going to wipe with the American flag. You have the woman who won last night who's equally crazy. I mean, these are some absolutely radical people who have absolutely no intention of coming to Washington and being a part of the Democrat machine, part of the Democrat establishment. I mean, they want to burn down Washington.
Right.
Republicans, Democrats, everything. So the Democrats aren't going to be able to just hide them away. And this isn't a situation where, like, Republicans had the Tea Party wave and these more conservative, these freedom, eventually, you know, led to the Freedom Caucus, those types of people. These people don't have any interest in governing. It's going to make good copy if you're in the business we're in. It's good for us. It's not good if you're Hakeem Jeffries, and it's probably not good if you're interested in the long-term health of the Democrat Party either.
But I think this has just been in the works for a long time with Democrats. I don't know if you have any Democratic national conventions you've ever been to, but the people on the floor, their delegates, they're not, it's so different from a Republican convention that they really are the wild activists. They really are the people who believe this stuff in these Democrat socialist elections. Sure, there's some, like, the, you know, the big business, Wall Street liberals that are down there on the floor. But the real, like, rank and file of the Democratic Party at their core believes a lot of this. And what the Democratic Party has been very good at since 2000, since the end of Obama, let's say, since 2016, is suppressing that, capturing the enthusiasm, but really kind of suppressing the activism. And, you know, a lot of that's just the phenomenon of Trump and somewhere to guide it. But, you know, like, all of a sudden, they're having to show their true colors. And this is what's going to do in the Democratic Party, that they just held this back, and it's got to find its release at some point.
Yeah, Jeff, I think you're right. And the Republican base, I think, is more aligned with the broader Republican electorate than the Democrat base is with the broader Democrat
electorate. Because we had our Civil War. We fought this out. We had debates about these ideas. Sure, there's like some disagreement over Israel and Iran, but generally speaking, there's not like that's maybe 10-15% of it. The rest of it, we kind of agree on.
Well, look what happened after Romney lost in 2012. What did that Republican establishment, the Wall Street types down on the floor of the RNC that you talk about, what was their suggestion for saving the party? It was basically, well, we have to move closer to what the Democrats are to maybe try to swing some of these independent voters and just hope that the base sticks with us. We saw that in the 2013, the Gang of Eight amnesty bill. that was the direction that the party was going. Donald Trump saved the Republican Party. He went in an entirely different direction. He built an entirely new, a bigger tent that has continued to grow since 16. Yeah, there's been a realignment, as you said, but it, I mean, Donald Trump saved the Republican Party from having the type of civil war that I think that Democrats have ahead of them. So it's going to be much more messy over on that side than I think the Republicans had. Of course, Republicans, I mean, they're still sniping. They're still different factions. Some went to the Democrat Party, your Bulwark types, your Lincoln Bill Project
Crystal,
types. Some of these coastal elites, you know, the Chamber of Commerce types left. But Trump brought in a lot more of these blue-collar workers, these voters who had typically voted. They were either swingy, went back and forth, or just Democrats. What is this Democrat civil war do? What are all of these different coalitions going to do? They're just totally incompatible, and I'm excited to see how this plays out. It's a shame that it took what could be the destruction of our nation with this importation of tens of millions of people who hate us to bring this about, but the war is coming.
Bradley Fossil Fighting Online, how can they do so?
I'm on Breitbart.com, and please follow me on social media on X or Instagram at Bradley AJ. Keep you updated there as well.
Bradley, we appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it, Jeff.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
You look into my eyes and lie those pretty eyes, and pretty soon I'm wondering.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday morning. Joey Clark coming up in the next hour, so make sure you stick around for that. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Let me know what is on your mind. Let's see here. We got Derek. Told you it's coming. People aren't voting for the future. They are voting for now. Yeah, but we could talk about the future. We could talk about what's going to happen in the future. Elections have consequences, and they have consequences on the future. I mean, that's the whole reason for this discussion, because I do think that Republicans will probably lose the House. Maybe even lose the Senate. It could be ugly. But the one silver lining there is it is going to be a bloody, and metaphorically, just struggle for control of the Democratic Party on Capitol Hill. It's, you know, more of these radical socialist candidates, they got elected. They went, knocked on doors. They went and protested in front of the federal courthouse or whatever against Donald Trump. They didn't do this to get in line behind Hakeem Jeffries and just vote for whatever he told them to. Like they, and you know, I don't know, that tearing it down, but they really do want a lot of like these socialist, you know, hobby horses. They want that. They aren't going to back down. So you see this, United States Senate, for example. What? Bernie Sanders. He's an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats. I think it's your new party. I think the Democratic Party splits. Just, it's kind of sad that it's socialism, but at least these guys who have been pushing this agenda and only paying lip service to it and not really meaning it are having to own it. You know, James Carville. The Democrats didn't used to do this during his heyday when he was, you know, the operative, the go-to guy in the Clinton administration.
I can't get to sleep.
But after Bush was elected, Democrats started dabbling in this arena, and it's taken 25 years to get here, but this is where we're, this is the logical destination. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Somebody.